Don't tell me music doesn't affect you. That was beautiful. I was inspired. Well, welcome everyone. We're glad you're here this morning. You know, sometimes we kind of say things looking down and we're kind of thinking about other things when we say it, and we kind of get the feeling maybe we don't really mean it. But I'm telling you this morning, we're glad you're here this morning. This morning, we have give a brief order of the service here. We have asked five young men from the Bible school to share with us, and they have all graciously agreed. And after that, we'll have an offering for, I'll explain that a little later, and then after that, Brother Moses is going to be preaching for us. But before we invite those young men to come up here, I have some words for you. I'd like to share it with you. Not only to you young men who will be sharing, but I say this to all of you young men, and also I would say whoever else it applies to. Which it would apply to all of us, actually. I quote from the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, young men, I have a charge for you. He says one place, again, Paul writing to Timothy, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity. I've learned a little bit over the past few years that older, wise men have a lot of charity. In spirit, in faith, you're being an example of these things. In spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, I have a charge. I'd like to give you this charge as not from me, from the Scriptures, from God. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Be ready at all times to preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Young men, you have been given a charge. It's been given to you by God. It's not a light thing to accept that charge. And I believe, I'd like to believe, and I do believe, that each one of you have a desire to do that very thing. This morning, as we continue with our service before God, I'm going to ask you young men to come up in this order. I've asked Brother Joseph Biscus, Brother Weston Bauman, Brother Jeremiah Vermont, Brother Philip Mast, and Brother Danny Bandman to share. We've asked them to share just a few minutes. And so they will be sharing a few minutes, and when one gets done, the other one may just come on up here. So I say to all of us, as these young men share, there's nothing like an attentive crowd to draw out of somebody what God has in there. And so some of these young men have never shared in front of a crowd before. Some of them have. Probably none of them this big a crowd, I don't know for sure. So this morning as we listen, I say that to you, and I say the second thing I say to you, we're here to worship God. We're here to hear what God has to say to us this morning. Let's pray before I turn the time over to them. Holy Father in heaven, there's no greater being. There's no other God. There's no other desire we have in our hearts than to worship you this morning. Oh, Father, may it be that every heart here has a heart full of worship and praise for Almighty God, who is worthy to receive all glory and honor and praise. Father, draw our hearts. Draw our hearts into that worship that we have, that we can have today, and that worship someday when we stand before you and the word declares that there will be multitudes and multitudes, and there will be angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Father, draw our hearts into that spirit this morning, that spirit of worship, that spirit of honor to you, that spirit of the kingdom of heaven. All those things, Father of earth, let them all pass away, grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Oh, Father, may it be that this morning, this group of people, as we sit here, as we worship before you, may it be that you receive all the honor that you deserve. Keep our hearts, Lord, drawn in. And may they, Father, be a result of our inner heart desires to worship, to praise. So we pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit. We pray for these young men as they share. Give them calmness of heart. And also, Father, unction from the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Brother Joseph.
Greetings in Jesus' name. I would like to give all praise and glory to God for the work that He has done this week. I have been challenged, and many of us have been challenged, and I can say for certainty that God is real, and God has seen us, and God has seen every heart here, and that God has spoken to each one of us individually. In the New Testament, we are admonished several times, and it speaks strongly, to abstain from the foolishness of idolatry. Another place it says, flee from idolatry. The Bible says in strong words, abstain. Make a stand. Don't go there. Make a stand. Abstain. Make a choice. And today I'd like to talk about the idol of my desire. My desire can become an idol. We have in the Romanian a saying, Doamne, fie voia ta, dar Maria mea. Lord, your will be done. Lord, I want your will to be done. I will pray it. I cry it out. I'll do your will, Lord. But in small little words, but Maria is still mine. Maria, my desire, my wish, my idol, written on your hearts in small little words, is still going to be mine. We have the example of the Israelites. They saw the glory of God. They saw Him rise up against the idols of Egypt. They saw Him stand strong, destroy each one, 10 plagues, one after another. They saw God, I am, at work. They saw I am, destroy the army of Egypt. They saw I am come down on the mountain of Sinai. The leaders of Israel went there and they saw God's feet and they saw the streets of heaven. They saw the glory of God. They saw I am. They saw the fire of God come down. In California, we've had a lot of fires and we're far away from them. And we see the fires there on those hills and we see how they throbs and how the sky glows red, how the black smoke comes up, and we're an hour and a half away, and we look there and we say, wow, something powerful is happening there. The children of Israel were right there at the foot of the mountain, and they saw the glory of God come down. How much more great. God wanted to show them, to His children, I chose you. I have a plan for you. I am able. I am. And yet, after a certain time passed by, Moses went up and they were there and they were put in a time of waiting. And time went and time passed. And slowly, slowly, their hearts were revealed. They said before to Moses, Moses, we will do what you command. We will do what God said. But as time went on and as time passed, those small little words that were written on their hearts came out. And they went to Aaron. And all the things that God did, all the power, all the glory, they put that aside. And they brought God down. I am, who is able, who is living, down to a small idol, down to a golden idol. And they said, we're going to do what we want to do now. How many times does that happen in our lives? When God says, I am able. I am. I see you. I know your heart. Maybe this week He spoke to you and He said, I see who you are. I know what you have. I saw the tears you cried. I know and I speak to you. And many times we look in our past and we see God work. And we see the things God did for us. And we say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. But what is written in our hearts? What happens when God says, all right, now you have to wait a little bit. You're into a time of waiting. And time starts to pass. And then what is written on our hearts will start to come out. Is it written in our hearts like that saying, Lord, your will be done, but in fine print. But Lord, Maria is still mine. Maybe in your heart it's written, Lord, I want your will. But Lord, I really want this relationship to work out. And I really want this to be mine. And so I'm going to do what I can. Lord, it's your will, but I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to twist. I'm going to weave. I'm going to take it. I'm going to do my methods to win and for me to come out on top. Or is it written in our hearts, Lord, your will be done. I will listen to you, Lord. I will follow you. And like in Proverbs it says, acknowledge the Lord and He will direct your path. And my challenge is, what is written in your hearts as we go home? Is it, Lord, your will be done. But is there still a fine print written down there? But I'm still going to do my will. Or is it, Lord, your will be done. The fine print is gone. It's just, Lord, your will, and I'll follow you. God bless each one of you, and be strong, and be men. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Daniel chapter 10. I want to start here in verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the river of the great side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like color to polished brass, and his voice, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak with unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before me, before the Lord thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. This morning I have already been challenged by what has been shared and by the song service as well. The message I'm getting here in Daniel here is Daniel met with God. Daniel set his heart to seek the Lord in mourning and fasting. He ate no pleasant flesh. I guess I want to say this morning, when we set our hearts to seek the Lord, when we pray through to God, when we are willing to spend the time to seek the Lord that it takes to find God truly in our hearts, it will change our lives. It will change every part of our lives. When we have a true walk with God, we can't hide it. People will see it in every part of our life. I have been very blessed by this passage of Scripture, how Daniel, he was fasting and mourning. He was confessing his sin. And I think there's those of us here this week that have done that. I think God has met with us this week. But may we continue to meet with God every day to allow Him to meet with us and to show us ourselves, to really be honest with God. Because if we do, it will change our lives. And people will see God through us. Even if we don't say much, our lives will show forth His praise. I'd like to notice a few things that happens when a man meets God. It says, there remained no strength in him. He said he fell on his face. His comeliness was turned to corruption. And when we see God, when we have a real encounter with God, when we meet God, we say, woe is me, for I'm a man undone. I just want to encourage each one of us to truly seek God in our hearts and to truly ask Him to show us things in our lives that can continue to change. If we have a true walk with God, it will come out in every part of our lives, our clothes, our words, what we esteem, what we value. It will come out. People will see it. One other thing I would like to speak about this morning, it's in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 7 says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." I want to encourage each one of you. We have heard a lot of things this week. God has spoken to our hearts. Yeah, I know He has spoken to my heart. I want to encourage each one of you to be obedient to the things that God has shown you. Be obedient to the stone, Jesus Christ. It's talking about those that are disobedient here. It says they stumble at the stone. In verse 9, though, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." That's what our lives will do if we are obedient to what God has spoken to us. So I just want to encourage you to continue to meet with God. Continue to find His presence a reality in your lives. And it will change. It will change us. And be obedient to the things that we hear. God bless you.
I want to talk about trials in our life. That's why I stumbled, by the way, just so you know. Sometimes we go through life and we view things just as simple as stairs to climb up as a trial. Sometimes we avoid them, we're scared of them, and really we go and we stumble and whatnot. So, turn with me, if you will, to James 1, 2 through 4. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Then it goes on. It says, we're to count it all joy. And I want to say something. Sometimes us in North America, we think we have these big trials, but they're really just like steps if you compare them to the trials of persecuted people in the past and just Christians in North Korea or so forth. It's like going up steps versus going up a mountainside. So we could really face these trials as a blessing in our life. That's really the way to look at it. I want one more scripture, 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, so now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." I'm not here to say that you're not going to ever struggle when you're going through trials. You might fall like I did, and it might be falling on something as simple as stairs there. But do you really view that trial as precious in your life, as more precious than if someone handed you a block of gold? Really, I've gone through life many times, and I've viewed those trials, and I said, "Oh Lord, why do I have to go through this? Deliver me from this." And when I went through them, it was more precious. If we keep our eyes on Jesus and face our trials and climb, it might be up a mountainside at times, but when we get to the top, we're going to realize just how much of a blessing it really was. And it's just so easy to get discouraged in life. And here we are at this Bible school, and we've gone from one point to another. God's worked in our lives. And many of us will go from here, and we're going to face some trials in life. We want to keep on that upward climb. And yet when we come back to Bible school next year, some of us are going to be like, "I'm at the same place that I was when I left Bible school." And it's because when we saw those trials, we didn't conquer them. We maybe even went astray because we didn't view them as a stepping stone in our life. but we stumbled over them and whatnot. And if we view those trials as a blessing, we're going to, when we come back next year, if we're going to be, instead of being where we left or where we came here last year, we're going to be in a place where we can help people that are going through those trials. And that's what I had to encourage you with. Hope it's a blessing to you all. God bless you all.
Good morning, everyone. A couple years ago, I was reading in 1 Peter, and there's one verse that just stood out to me. It's a very challenging verse. It's something I haven't done really well in. The verse is 1 Peter 4:7. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Okay, just to add some clarity to the verse, I guess. This word sober here, it carries the idea of being self-controlled and, yeah, and the word watch, it, we wouldn't use the word watch in that way anymore, but it means keeping alert and maybe of a clear mind, might have that connotation to it. So it's saying here, we need to be self-controlled and alert. And it says, unto prayer. That's the importance it puts on prayer. I think we all know what it's like to experience distractions in life and have that affect our prayer life. I know for myself, I have a big tendency to daydream. It can really affect my prayer life. My thoughts just wander to something else right in the middle of my prayers. But I think there are some practical ways we can keep our minds clear. I know once I had this funny story going through my head that I had read somewhere, and I thought, you know, it would just be really bad if I wouldn't have read that story. It's not helping me any, and it's distracting me. So yeah, it can mean cutting out things like that, like Brother John Dee was talking about. If things are hindering us, we just need to cut them off. And also, I've found that I can keep alert better when I'm in a slightly more uncomfortable position. So yeah, there's lots of different ways of practically doing this. So yeah, that's my encouragement. Let's all keep focused. Let's keep our minds free from distractions. Let's keep alert, because the end of all things is coming. We want to keep focused on what is important and try to pray. God bless you all.
Good morning, all. Just want to say, I almost backed out. I almost backed out. But God help me. This morning I would like to encourage us young people to really apply the things that we learned, that we were taught this week. I think we can all honestly say that we have been truly blessed by all the teachings this week. I would like to just kind of show that we are accountable for what we have learned this week. Matthew 5:14-16. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's a charge to us. We're to be a light. That's a charge to me that I hold very dear. This week, our lights have been lit. We are called to give light to those that are in the house with us. Not to hide our lights. I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 through 10. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou... This is Paul speaking to Timothy and just charging him, I guess, in a sense. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but thou partaker of afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. But it is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This week we have been stirred up. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. This week we have been stirred up. But it's up to us what we're going to do about that. We will be held accountable. Mark 8:33 tells us, Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this generation, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father with the holy angels. If we are ashamed of this calling, then Jesus will be ashamed of us one day. Judgment Day is coming. By coming to Bible school, we have an accountability to live out these teachings that we have learned. Luke 12:48 shows us that. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I think we all agree that we have been given much this week. That means we are now required more than before we came to Bible school. James also tells us that if we know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's powerful. In closing, I would like to leave you with a verse from 2 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Thank you.
What we just witnessed was what God calls normal. What I'm talking about is young men, and I'll include all of us, but what we just witnessed was young men who have committed to speaking the Word, teaching the Word, knowing the Word. What we just witnessed was normal in God's economy. I'd like to say to you, young people, you are normal. The world is abnormal. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't hide it. Don't put your candle under a bushel. You are who God wants you to be. Be that way with zeal, without shame. When you walk down the street, when you go in the stores, when you do your jobs, duties, whatever they are, hold your, may I say, hold your head high for who you are. Because that is what God wants you to be. He wants you as you sit here with all of your convictions, young ladies with your convictions, young men with your convictions, you're normal. Anybody else, the world is abnormal. Don't forget it. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You have nothing to hide. What we just witnessed here this morning is, in God's idea, in God's eyes, normal. Thank you, young men, for sharing. I truly believe, and I think we would all say amen to the fact that you let God work in your hearts to share what you shared. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.